You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
You can support us on Patreon and join our Discord server at patreon.com/WTFolklore.
Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I am your storyteller, Carmen.
I'm the crime weaver, Tyler.
I'm the peanut gallery, Gordy. Thank you, Lindsay Werner on Twitter.
Thank you, indeed.
It's appropriate. That is my function.
Don't forget to hashtag WhatAmGordy.
And you, too, can decide his fate.
If I ever have to do this for myself again, it's going to be a dark day.
The show's canceled.
It'll be a dark day on Earth.
You'll know, because there won't be a new episode.
Yeah, I'll Thanos the whole podcast. I haven't even seen that movie, but from context, I know what that means.
Yeah, I still haven't seen it either. No spoilers.
How's it going?
It's going.
We got a job to do, Gordy. What is that job?
You want
to
just like take a second and
Just take a breather.
That's like, what the
just,
ramble
like,
was
I mean,
about.
Just like take a minute and just like, how's it going? How is the week?
I mean, it's only Tuesday and it's the longest week I've had in a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
So pretty good.
It is shaping up to be that. So great. Okay. We're yeah. Nice. We're nice and refreshed and ready to go into our main task, which is reading a weird fairy tale. Are we modernizing these?
We're fixing.
We're
them.
Not. This is my pitch.
We're reading them with a modern perspective.
I don't think it was the original mission statement, but it has squirreled its way in.
This is my pitch for like a highbrow explanation of what we're doing.
Please.
Folklore and mythology are living, right?
Yeah.
Like they naturally transform.
They come from humans.
And in the olden days, they were told around the fireside, right?
Yep.
And nowadays, they're told via podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And we are changing them the same as they have been changed for hundreds and thousands of years.
So listener, put your device on the ground and light it on fire.
And listen to some good tales from yesteryear.
That's what we're doing, right?
Kind of, this
is just the next step in the oral tradition. Podcasting.
Where you make fun of the oral tradition.
It's very meta, yeah. Anyway, so that's what we're here to do.
It's the data spent on folklore.
I'm willing to bet that there were at least two people, a la Gordy and myself, who would listen to a tale around the campfire and just make jerk-off motions at whoever was telling it.
What's going on with that? Yeah.
At least once in human history, we are recreating that every week.
Yeah, I mean, this setup is not new, but now we do it into a microphone instead of into faces at a fire.
Yeah.
Right.
So go, let's make some new folklore.
We're back to the Gremlins.
The Gremlins?
Jakob.
The Grimlands.
Grimlands.
Where?
Jakob and the other one.
Wilhelm.
Those their names?
Unless I like completely brain broke there for a second.
I think
sure.
You're correct.
I have no reaction to that.
Oh, good.
It sounded like you were gonna.
I thought I was going
to. Not to.
I thought I was going to, and I thought about it. I was like, no, that makes total sense.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That tracks. Those are two first names.
Those are first names from Germany-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Today we are going to be going to the book The Complete Fairy Tales of the Brothers Grimm, translated by Jack Zipes. This book was donated to us by Jenna. Hero and nuisance of the show, I think, officially.
I
don't remember who's our nuisance.
Right, you're making me second guess it now.
Well, she is the hero of the show as well.
Certainly.
And
a hero of the show.
Yeah, one of several heroes of the show. And this, we're reading The Crows, suggested by Nicole Gimmel.
Thank you, Nicole. A name I have heard before.
Yes, often associated with Grimm's Tales. So I'm renaming her Grimmel. Whether she likes it or not.
Solid.
Yeah. The grimmest of them all.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe this is another sponsored episode.
Yeah, we have a few of those for the next few weeks. This one is being executively produced by Wade Wilson.
Deadpool.
A.K.A. Dom, who is getting the Arne Thompson type 1313, the man who thought himself dead because of the Deadpool thing. Because he called himself Deadpool's name.
Because he came out and said, Mom, Mom and Dad, name me after Deadpool.
Well, it's not his real name.
Wade Wilson?
Yeah.
It is.
Okay.
It is now.
Yeah.
Legally.
In what the folklore canon.
It is.
So thank you, Deadpool.
Thank you, Dom.
Thanks, Dom. Dead.
Thank
Dom,
you, Dompool.
Dom Deadpool.
Dompool.
Dead. Yeah, yes, there you go.
Thank you, Dompool.
We got there.
Thank you, Dom Delapool.
And then we went where we shouldn't. We got there. We finger guns the correct location and moved straight past it. So, I don't have much business to attend to regarding this one. It's a Grimm. It's called The Crows.
Yep.
It probably has an Arne Thompson type. I did not look it up.
Tear the Band-Aid.
Once an honest and diligent soldier had, through his soldiering, earned and saved his money, and he had achieved this by not squandering it in taverns like the other loser soldiers he knew.
Is he a preachy?
Merc? Yeah, he's a merc with a mouth. And some money.
And gold, apparently. And kind of a preachy attitude.
It happened that two of his comrades of the squandering demeanor were rather devious, in addition to being squanderous, and wanted his money. So they pretended to be very friendly with him.
How friendly?
Super friendly.
How friendly?
I mean, not bean friendly, regular type.
Okay.
So one day they said, they like sidle up to him and say, "Why should we stay in this city, locked in as though we were prisoners? Pretty lame town here. We've checked out all the strip clubs and going on.
We've already Nothing been there. New. It's one woman who works all three."
Old news.
That's her stripper name.
Boy, that must feel very degrading.
It's very self-deprecating.
Give it up for old news.
Well, when you have no competition, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, I guess they give it up for the same woman.
Yeah, our Monopoly stripper, old yeah. news.
Yeah, the stripper hegemony of one woman who rules this town. Let's spend more time on this character.
Sure.
We're gonna bring her back.
How did she achieve...
total dominance.
Just economic dominance, yeah, in this town.
In this town of soldiers.
Maybe it's like a naturally prudish town.
Surely she took pride in the work at first.
She still might. I don't know.
That's true.
Maybe she takes all of the pride in the work.
She takes so much pride in the work, she will not allow anyone else to do it.
Mm-hmm.
She started the war that the soldiers are fighting in.
Yeah, it was the great stripper war.
And all the other strippers were collateral damage.
So this is Helen of Troy.
Yeah, kinda. Yeah, basically.
I'm trying to think of a fun stripper joke for that, but like the closest word I have to Troy is thong, and it's just not close enough.
It isn't. That's true.
Yeah, it's not quite doing it.
All right, so the
well, hold on. Did she get Peter principled?
She get what?
Peter principled.
Peter who?
You're not familiar with the Peter principle?
I've heard of this, but I do not remember what it is.
At your job, where you're very good, your first position, so you get promoted, and you continue to be promoted until you are no longer...
Good at what you do?
Good at what you do.
Okay.
Yeah. You're talking about mediocrity, rising through the ranks.
Yeah, so it's like being promoted to your highest level of incompetence.
I see. Yeah, okay. Who's Peter?
A man who is very good at stripping. At first. And then he became the manager of the club, and he hated his life.
And then he made it miserable for all the other strippers, but good old news. It's the only one who could stand his bad attitude. So she stuck around after everyone else quit to become washerwomen for good, clean living.
So those are the two services in this town.
Yeah, clothes washing and then old news.
Because of the old news. It gets sticky in there. They need a lot of soldiers' clothes washed before they go to war again.
She's very talented and very swift.
I mean, one person can strip for many people. She's not a prostitute. She's a stripper.
Yeah, I know, but she's very good at it.
Yeah.
And can
stickify some people very quickly.
Is she just like on a jumbotron, like Big Brother or something?
Like before you know,
instantly stripping.
It's like New York City around New Year's Eve, the giant TVs everywhere. Just, and here she is again, old news.
I can see why these three men want to leave this town. It is.
Why they feel like prisoners.
It is like 1984, where every day they have like a mandatory like 5 minutes of hate, I think it's called. But it's 5 minutes of old news, and everyone is like bound by law to watch old news's televised show.
Hands on their heart.
Hand, like the pledge. One hand on their heart.
We made it like half a paragraph into the story.
Yeah, okay. Keep it going.
All right. So then they continue to try and seduce him out of the city. It's like someone such as you could really earn good living and live happily in your own country.
Killing elsewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what this is about.
Let's start a PMC, the three of us.
Property management company?
That's the one. But a killing one.
Private military company.
That's the one.
Yeah, Genghis Khan was the first property manager.
Khan Estates.
In a way.
Yeah. I mean, he did do some property managing. They were pretty loose about it.
All right, so they finally convince him to leave the city with them, but they did, of course, only do this with the intent of stealing his money from him,
yeah.
Which they can't do under the watchful eyes of, I guess, this...
Old news.
Of yeah. Old news's iron law.
Old news. Only stripper, also mayor of city.
Constable. Constable Old News.
And head of the secret police. So after they had gone part of the way out of the city and into his country, the soldiers get to like a boulder and say, we need to turn right here to get to the border of the country.
It's how maps work.
The many moneyed soldier says, no, that path goes right back to the city where we don't want to be.
Remember, you guys told me.
So let's just keep to our left. And then the other two get very mad at him about one. They say, you always have to have the last word. And then use that as their excuse to just start beating the shit out of him. So they rush him, they hit him until he falls down, and they take the money from his pocket. But now they've had a taste of blood, so a simple robbery is not quite enough to sate their needs at this point.
It needs to be a full mugging.
Yeah, a super mugging, in fact, because they poke his eyes out as their next, like, a major escalation from punch to the ground and pick a pocket.
It's a good way to not be found.
They pick a socket. Yep. After they achieve this, they drag him to the gallows and tied him up there. They don't tie him to hang, they just, like, tie him to the gallows.
The gallows where?
Just, like, outside of town.
Which town, though, when they left?
Yeah, Old News to town.
So they drag him back to Old News Gallows.
I don't think they got too far out of Old News Town.
So they, like, they just wanted to get him out of town.
Yeah, they wanted...
So they could do this thing.
Yeah, they didn't want witnesses. Old News' secret police are everywhere.
But they did need a pretense to start beating him, once they were gone.
That's how it reads. I mean, it doesn't say explicitly that this was their pretense. Like, they were just like, oh, you always have to have the last word, and then they rush him and steal his money and steal his eyeballs.
Because it sounds like they got him out of town where they want him, but they still need, like, an excuse.
It's the way that they're justifying it in their heads. Like, we need to beat him because he's such a dick.
Okay.
He's giving us different directions.
Like, he was such a dick to me just now. I have to beat him and take his money.
And his eyes.
And his eyes. And lock him up. And just generally ruin his life. Yeah.
What a tool.
So after tying him to the gallows, they leave for the city with his money.
What city?
The same one. They're going to go spend that money on Old News.
I mean, there's nothing else to spend it on.
They're caught in the siren song.
As so many are. Why you can't leave that city for good.
It's like in The Simpsons when the Navy started playing that song, Yvonnette Nyage, which is just join the Navy backwards. She's got the same thing going on.
Oh, man. I hadn't thought about that episode in 2 decades.
Yeah, it's a deep Simpsons cut. Probably, maybe not that deep as Simpsons cuts go, but yeah.
All right, so... The poor blind soldier wasn't aware that he had been left in a place as terrible as a gallows.
Because he couldn't see.
That would be a key factor of that. He could feel that he was sitting beneath a beam of wood and assumes that it's a cross and thinks, well, it's good of them at least to like me off here. And he begins praying.
He feels himself in gallows.
No, he feels wood and he assumes it's like he feels the beam of wood above him.
Is he...
He's not
hanging.
He's not...
No. He's tied to the gallows.
Like to the beam?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's not in a pillory or anything like that.
He's just tied to the beam.
So he feels wood, assumes like, oh, this must be a cross.
Right.
I'm kind of crucified light. Basically.
Yeah.
Like I'm just tied to it, not nailed to it.
Right.
Okay.
Does he think it's a church or does he know he's outside?
No, I just think he knows it's outside.
You should know it's outside.
Are there outside crosses?
Yeah. You've driven through Georgia and also the United States, right? Like, you've seen the hills where people just put giant crosses out for no reason, right?
I have not, no.
They're everywhere.
Historically, they were outside for the for the crucifixions.
Sure.
They did that out of doors.
That makes plenty of sense.
I don't know if you see that as often anymore, but I remember as a kid driving around and just... No.
Not as much these days.
No, just like three crosses on top of a hill near a highway.
Yeah.
That wasn't like a Dave and Buster's situation.
Crucifixions. No, not typically.
No.
Not a Chuck E. Cheese kind of zone.
They don't. They got rid of those rooms. I remember when I was a kid, you'd pay that giant mouse for a crucifixion.
To tie you to a beam.
So three crows land on the beam of the gallows,
mm-hmm.
and one says, "Sister, what good news have you brought? If only people knew what we knew."
So this is just conspiring right now.
Yeah, to each other.
This is a Birdfall update.
Yes. This is 100% Birdfall. All of our alarms in our headquarters are blaring. The Birdfall symbol has lit up in the sky.
Mm-hmm. But he's blind, so he can't see it.
The king's daughter is sick, and the old king has promised to give her to anyone who can cure her. And no one can do it, because she will only get well again if the toad in the pond over there, real conveniently near
yonder
to this spot,
yonder toad,
is burned to ashes.
The yonder toad.
And mixed with water for her to drink.
That'd be a good superhero.
The yonder toad.
Someone call Marvel. They gotta get some new boys after this Avengers thing.
Uh-huh. The only issue with the yonder toad is that he is never there for the battle.
Well, I was gonna say every panel that has yonder toad is him in the like
the middle to far distance.
Right, far distance.
he's been.
It's just a tiny toad-esque silhouette with a cape.
Yonder Toad's catchphrase is just a distant "Hey!"
He's been
every panel.
He's been an Easter egg for a long time, just running toward the action.
Mm-hmm. You wonder why, like, you never see like multiple crimes happening at the same time in a Marvel book. It's because Yonder Toad takes care of the ones that are a little further away from the ones that you're looking at.
He's on off-screen duty, like while the Avengers are working on Thanos. He's, you know. There's still robberies and stuff happening. Someone has to look out for it.
Yonder Toad is on it.
He's there. He's got that big sticky tongue that he wraps up bad people with.
Mm-hmm. From a distance.
From a distance where he likes to stay.
They never even see him coming. He's just over yonder.
It's a lot of overlap with Spider-Man, really.
Yeah, but Spider-Man is so in your face all the time.
Yeah.
Yonder Toad likes to keep his space.
Yes.
He's got a very big bubble.
Yes. Good at jumping.
Great at jumping.
All right, so the second crow says, "Oh, if only the people knew what we know, dew will fall from heaven tonight. Miraculous healing powers that let the blind regain their sight if they rub their eyes with it."
Dew?
Mm-hmm.
The water?
Yeah, Mountain Dew.
That one.
Yeah, we can...
Go with that one.
Yeah.
Is it dew if it falls?
I thought like dew was...
It's just rain,
necessarily
then.
Just like the leftovers.
Like condensation?
Yeah, on plants and stuff.
Yeah, but this wasn't science times.
Like, dew doesn't fall. That's rain. They're talking about rain. Dew is like, I mean, we know what dew is. Go outside in the morning.
Are they speaking English?
I mean, technically the condensate kind of falls from the sky, right?
Does it?
Like, it doesn't just morph out of the grass.
Does it not?
No.
I mean, it goes up, right?
It comes from the air.
Back into the air.
Eventually, yeah, that's the water cycle.
Yeah, I'm saying it doesn't. When it falls down, it's rain.
Well, it's not falling from a height.
Where's it falling from?
The air around. It's just condensation.
Yeah.
It's kind of like your water glass.
Yeah,
like,
but that's not falling.
It's
This isn't falling. It's just dripping.
Yes, but it's forming from the air.
Yes.
So it's like a teeny tiny fall.
Yeah. It's a velocity.
It's an infinitesimal
issue.
Fall.
It's a velocity issue.
I'm gonna give the crows some slack on this one because they are speaking a human language.
Sure.
Maybe they just don't know the word.
Yeah,
there's
true.
A language barrier.
That's true. It does flow better in the original crow. All right. And then the third crow says, "Oh, if only the people knew what we knew." There's a great emergency in the city. All the wells are dried out, and nobody knows that if the people just removed the square stone in the marketplace and dug beneath that spot, the most beautiful water would gush forth.
Two things. One, why does a bird know that?
I mean, the birds are connected. They knew about Skyhorse.
Yeah.
They know how to break spells.
Yeah. They know what kings they want where.
Right.
And they move them around like chess pieces.
I feel like knowing about the municipal water supply is kind of small beans compared to that.
Well, it's not knowing about the water supply, it's knowing where to find a new one.
I mean, underground
is fairy town.
Parts of it, I think, further than this, but yeah.
I'm just saying, I don't think birds should know anything underground.
Well, they obviously have spies, right? Because they know how to break spells. They know they're on it with things like Skyhorse, which is also fairy town.
Sure.
They're getting their intel somehow.
Well, Skyhorse was in the sky.
Right.
That's bird turf.
That's a different fairy town.
It seems reasonable to me that they could have uncovered this intel through regular operation.
Yeah. And there are ground birds, like quail.
Yeah.
They spend a lot of time on the ground.
If you call them birds.
They can fly too.
Kinda.
Second thing.
Remember when Dick Cheney went quail hunting?
And found a man instead.
And he shot his friend in the face? Do you remember that?
I do.
Yeah, Dick Cheney popped up again this week.
What?
He basically stuck his head above ground. He's like, hey, restart the torture program.
Like a gopher of bad?
Yeah, basically.
In between heart attacks?
It was in the past week, so I'm just reminding everyone he shot his friend in the face while hunting.
Cool guy. Second thing. Just once, like one of these situations where we have three characters who know three things, I would like the third one to drop the ball. Like, sorry, guys, I don't have anything this week. I don't know.
No news.
Yeah,
my sister's having a baby. Is that good?
You did pause.
A brand new egg.
You did pause for a second after saying, like, if you only knew the things that I know. And I thought that was it for a second. It was like, if you only knew the things that I know, I won't tell you what they are.
Then it's just a smug ass crow grinning, a shit-eating grin at the other two.
This crow slept on his book report. Did not come together this week.
Like, no, I've got stuff too. I just can't tell you.
All right, so after the crow has finished divulging this important information, the blind man heard the fluttering of their wings as they flew away. And then after they were gone, he was able to untie himself with a lot of patience. And then he stooped down and rubbed his eyes, which don't exist anymore. I think this is...
empty sockets.
Yeah.
Scratching the holes.
With the dew that had fallen on the grass and regained his sight. Presumably also his eyes, because otherwise he's just seeing with empty sockets, which is horrifying.
Can I pretend that they're made of leaves now?
Leaf eyes?
Yeah.
Sure.
How did he get to the dew?
He untied himself.
Oh, yeah. So he just dropped?
Yeah, with his legs.
Okay.
His legs and hands.
That's quite a feat.
He is a soldier.
And hands, not just feet.
Yeah, he's probably trained for this.
Yeah, this exact situation.
That's why TV shows are about cops and soldiers. Always.
So he saw that he was standing next to the gallows, and after that he looked for some earthenware to gather as much of the precious dew as he could find. So I guess he finds earthenware.
just a bottle and sell it later.
Yeah.
Can turn a profit with this.
He's good with money.
So when he was done, he went to the pond, dug into the water, grabbed that toad and burned it.
Like in public?
I mean, he's out by the gallows. I don't think people hang out there very often.
This fucking potion seems, like, exceptionally cruel to Yonder Toad. Because take Yonder Toad out of the water that it lives in, burn it to death, and then you put it in different water after you're done. So really the part of the equation that's important is that Yonder Toad burns to death. That's what, like... makes the magic go.
Yeah.
Is this toad's sacrifice.
It's that cooking process.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so he carried the toad ashes to the king's court and mixed it in with water and gave it to the king's daughter.
Uh-huh.
And she is restored to health as the crows had promised. And then he demanded the king give her to him as his wife.
Gimme, gimme, gimme.
As also promised. But the king did not much care for him, possibly because of this gimme attitude. Like, I cured her. She's mine now.
Princess, please.
I mean, is that not what he promised?
I mean, it is definitely his proclamation.
So,
this one's broke. If you can fix it, she's yours.
I mean, I understand that, like, maybe this guy just had a bad attitude about it.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, he did what you asked and then said, like, hey, can I have the thing that you said I could have?
Well, the king didn't like him less because of the bad attitude and more because his clothes kind of sucked.
Ah.
He's not a fashionable dude.
Ah. His stinky soldier clothes.
He's got he's got his anti-blindness water. He's got that money coming in soon.
Then he makes up a provision to the daughter getting that the soldier must now provide water to the dried out city.
Good thing that that was accounted for.
The soldier does not hesitate or... or, like, pretend to think about it for a second. He just marches straight to the marketplace, tells people to lift the stone and dig underneath it, and then, like, a huge spring of water bursts forth.
I like to imagine that he has not stopped, like, walking.
Like, for a second?
Yeah, like, he walks in, dumps Yonder Toad in her throat, fixes her, and he's like, princess, please. King's like, nuh-uh-uh, you gotta fix the... what? Oh, there he goes. Out the door.
He's got a plan already.
Waving one hand... casually
on it,
not looking back, and then marches right back and holds out his hands again.
Princess, please.
The king has run out of ideas pretty quickly.
Well, all my problems are solved.
And he gives him the daughter, and they celebrate the wedding.
Yay.
So the two of them live happily for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day when the soldier, now prince, was taking a walk through the fields, he met his...
Like, they don't talk about...
giggling over there.
I was just thinking, like, you think of fairy tales as like they got their happily ever after. They don't talk as much about the ones that get their... they're happy for a while. They're happy for a bit.
This was not built to last.
Well, I mean, the two of them are happy, but she literally doesn't matter other than to drink a burned toad.
Yeah, it's too bad.
And to be unsick.
Yeah. Make him a prince, essentially.
Did we even know what, like, sick with what?
Anti.
So it just flu.
Yeah, it was a toad deficiency in her diet.
She was fatally low on vitamin toad.
That's his catchphrase. The yonder toad. That's what he says when he shows up.
You're fatally low on vitamin toad. To fight his tongue out at them.
That's yonder toad snicked bub.
To fight his, when he fights his nemesis, yeah. The eyeless one.
All right, so.
Have a dose of vitamin toad.
I'm kind of into this superhero now.
Yonder toad.
Yeah, it's feels very tick-like to me.
A little bit.
So one day when the soldier turned prince was just taking a walk through the woods or the fields, he met his former comrades, the ones who had taken his eyes, or as this story puts it, treated him so disgracefully.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, they did that.
They didn't recognize him, but he did recognize them. And I like that you have given this image of him as someone who just does not stop moving. Because he sees them and he just walks right up to them straight away and says, look, I'm the guy whose eyes you poked out and I've been allowed to prosper.
Mm-hmm.
And then gives them the double deuces.
They fell to his feet and begged him for mercy, and his kind heart took pity on them, and he takes them back to the castle and gives them food and clothes, probably without hesitating at all. He just keeps marching.
Yeah, so in our picture of him being like a shark on land, where he can't stop moving,
yeah.
He's walking up to them, he's like, hey, look, it's me, fuckers, and they drop to their knees, sorry, sorry, he just grabs them both by the scruff. And drags them wherever he's going.
Here we go.
I can't stop walking, so I guess you two are coming with me. So the two of them listen to his story, and they are eager to spend a night beneath the gallows to see if it gets them similar luck. So they just go and do that.
Sure.
The three crows come that night, and the first of the crows says, listen, sisters, someone overheard us, for the king's daughter is healthy, and the toad is gone, and a blind man can see, and they have a fresh well in the city. Let's look for the eavesdropper and punish him.
Thought they were telling him this.
What is the crow's game plan?
They were just like, they just met up there to share their secrets with each other.
Well, the crows then swoop down and see the two soldiers that are like waiting to hear some cool news.
Yeah.
And then they sit on the soldiers' heads and hack out their eyes and hack at their faces until the soldiers are dead.
Okay, I knew that the birds were going to twist this to be these guys' fault. So this is like literally like the crows needed to justify to themselves why they needed to hack out their eyes and face.
Yeah, because they're not leaving any witnesses.
Yeah.
It is, I think that probably old news is spies are everywhere. So if you don't give a good reason...
a lot of rationalizing.
You better just kind of rationalize to whoever might be around before you do it.
A lot of verbal contracts.
Yeah. Do you think old news is one of those like bird speakers that we've encountered?
Yeah, for
Clearly.
Sure.
She's been allowed to thrive.
They are her eyes and ears.
Right.
I don't know if she has been allowed to thrive so much as... like, she has done it, despite what anybody else thinks.
Well, despite the birds.
Yeah, or anyone.
I feel like the birds could move against whoever they wanted to.
They could. It'd be quite a fight to watch.
Sure.
The birds versus old news.
A bunch of birds versus a very old stripper / dictator.
This is quite a...
she's super limber on the pole. Like, she can get herself way up there and just spin kick them.
Yeah.
This is quite a whimsical setting we've dreamed up.
So after a few days, when the soldiers had not returned, the soldier-turned prince kind of wonders to himself where they got to. So he marches on to look for them and goes to the gallows, where he finds nothing but bones, which he took away from the gallows and buried in a grave. End.
Gordy.
Yeah?
Before we go to the discussion, do you still have that audio file?
What audio file?
The very important one.
Quarter?
Yeah.
Are these guys worthy of a recorder?
Somewhere. No, but somebody is.
Yonder Toad?
Yonder Toad.
Yonder Toad.
Yeah, I think I still have it.
A moment of silence for Yonder Toad.
Thank you for your service, Yonder Toad.
All right, we got some holes to patch.
Sure.
I don't know. I think it looks pretty good.
First off, I'm going to like pretend to be a folklorist for a second and just say, like, I'm guessing this story was kind of adapted from an older tale featuring Odin.
Because crows.
Gallows. And the like whole eye-losing thing being tied.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in the right.
Seems like clues pointing in that direction.
It's in the right general region.
That then got Christianized later.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it for my pretend folkloristing. Let's talk about the stripper we made up and some of the holes that lie in the story.
Okay, what do you have in mind?
Well, first off, the Skyler's extra dew.
That he never uses.
Right. And, like, these soldiers had their eyes hacked out, and so I thought for sure...
he'd fix that.
Before I flipped the page and they were just dead and in a grave, that would come into play again. So we have...
Was he worried, like, that they would get him again?
Maybe.
He needed a backup,
he's just, like, just in case they find me and do it again, I'm gonna have, like, 5 or 6 of these potions ready to go.
Yeah.
It's not a bad plan. I mean, like, he is good at saving things for later.
Oh, a thing like that his I money. Forgot to make note of for some reason was, like, the crows talked about how Toad could only cure one person and the dew could only cure a few people, which was another...
a handful.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Another thing that didn't come into play. So the birds want this guy...
Yes.
Did they, like, mean for him to overhear?
I think so.
Okay, it seems like they did.
They almost always do.
I don't think that a man tied to a gallows... uh-huh. I think Tyler's right in that the second time they're just, like, twisting this around to be about the other two people.
I'm not sure why.
I guess maybe to put them at their ease? for a second. Like,
to lull them into a false sense of security before they strike.
For the split second they needed to approach them without them like wondering, like, are they going to pick our goddamn eyes out?
Right.
They just like put their hands down for a second.
That moment of misleading, and maybe they're doing that for potential other actual eavesdroppers.
Yeah.
The fairy kind. Mm-hmm. So they place this guy in charge of a kingdom. And as it goes, not a terrible choice.
Yeah, I mean, he has some good qualities at least.
Yeah, he's responsible and he's
good at soldier.
He never stops moving.
He cannot stop moving or he'll die.
He is ambitious.
I assume.
Good with funds.
So now we have a king who can cure the blind.
Yeah.
Well, he can cure some blind. Not a lot of it, but some blind.
He can cure a little bit of blind.
Like a few. Couple blind.
How long does that last, though?
Does
magic dew water keep?
I mean, it probably has a shelf life of a little while.
I'd refrigerate it at least.
Like at some point, does the magic go bad? And if you rub it on somebody's blind eye holes, it magics them so that they will never grow back.
What now?
I doubt it curses the eye holes. I doubt it gives them like eye food poisoning so much as, you know, like a spice loses its potency. So maybe after a period of time, like they get their vision back, but it's blurry.
They need corrective lenses.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes more sense to me.
That's something that we've never really touched on with magic. It's like, how good are the effects?
How strong are they?
Yeah.
Well, my guess is this is kind of early in our Book of Doug timeline.
Yeah.
Because magic is still strong enough that it's, you know, in nature to be harvested.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It hasn't, like, it's still a natural part of the world. It hasn't dried up and gone
right
bad.
And the layman can understand birds. Like, you don't need to be trained in
special
in bird speak to get
them.
So
would the birds, by making this guy king, is that going to increase magic somehow?
Well, they've harvested some magic.
They're trying to use it up.
Yeah.
They're trying to, I think, control it and remove it from fairies and other people who use it really irresponsibly.
Like Yonder Toad?
Yeah, maybe Yonder Toad was like hella magic.
Was there a hit out on Yonder Toad?
Maybe Yonder Toad was like a fairy punished toad.
Punished Yonder Toad.
Yeah, there might have been a hit out on Yonder Toad.
I'm just wondering why Yonder Toad needed to die.
I mean, it's the formula for the magic potion.
For illness.
Only death can pay for life.
It's the sacrifice to bring life back to that princess. Sole purpose in this story is a path to a kingdom.
Yeah.
As many of them are.
Anticipated.
Yeah. So she's probably less of a figure to watch for, and we want to look for a king who can cure blindness.
I've gotten to the point where, like, if you don't mention them a certain number of times, I pretend like they didn't exist anyway.
The princesses?
Yeah.
Yeah, like she might as well have been like, I don't know, some kind of special door that he had to walk through. Just a random thing lying around in the castle.
She may as well have been a crown that was rusty and needed oil.
Yeah, basically. Like, for the way that they treat her.
Put this on this, and then you become king.
Just fix this thing up, and then, you're king, because you have this thing.
It's a two-piece puzzle, and she was one of the pieces. It's like for little baby kids.
I guess that's my biggest plot hole. It's like they had that Chekhov's loaded blind do, and
yes.
they never fired it.
It is odd.
Loaded what?
Blind do.
I mean, they use it once.
Yeah, but
does it need to fire more than that?
Well, the fact that he took extra.
Yeah. He collected more.
Yeah.
That's the loaded blind do.
Okay.
The rest of it's just regular do. It's not loaded at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just a little character note just to give him some personality and flavor.
Well, we've been responsible more about the story. Do you guys want to talk about old news?
I mean, I'm very much invested in, like, the setting as we have interpreted it.
Yeah. There is one thing that I don't know if it's important that just struck me as interesting, is the vague definition of his occupation.
Just soldier?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He continues to be referred to as soldier for the rest of the time. Like,
right.
I added the other descriptor so it'd be a little less confusing, because it's soldier and other two soldiers.
Yeah. Is that a translation thing?
That he is a soldier?
Yeah.
Opposed to some other occupation?
Some other person who fights. I don't know. Like, what? He's a soldier for who? for what?
Yeah, that is a good question.
Is he a cell sword?
Like, what are these at least three soldiers doing? Like this country has a king,
mm-hmm.
but are they part of his army?
Are they in that retinue?
Are they in somebody else's army?
Well, it's not the soldier's country.
Yeah, so like, why are they there? War times?
Presumably.
Did they just leave?
Be more like mercenary types.
Yeah.
Are they allowed to leave? Does it say that like the war ended and then they went off somewhere, or did they just kind of decide like he's got money saved up, let's just go do this thing?
Were they vacationing from war?
If you are like part of like an army, that is frowned upon.
Right.
To say like hey captain, like I'm good, like I got my money, so like I'm gonna peace out if that's okay. You are not allowed to do that. Still, you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, they don't say anything about like a war or its ending, just that he was honest and diligent and he didn't squander his money.
So yeah.
He saved a lot of it, and his comrades do mention like the city's a prison for them.
Yeah.
So why not go to your own country where you can make more money?
Yeah, but is he allowed to?
I'm just wondering, do you think he was supposed to be like a palace guard or a mercenary or something where the profession's a little more flexible than?
Yeah, I would assume so, because otherwise he is definitely an army deserter.
Yeah.
And that,
with a lot of gold.
Yeah, and that might be
which begs more questions.
It's a bad look. It's like we might need to do some digging into his past.
Yeah. And I know that it is an aspect that we invented, but it doesn't help the look that he's in stripper town.
Yeah, that is where he's chosen.
That's
to
the hideaway.
Like, to make his plays. Is he sponsored by Old News somehow? Are they in cahoots?
Was Soldier what he called himself to sort of like gussy up his actual profession of bouncer?
Tavern. I mean, he just kind of watched.
Punchman.
He just watched the door at the club.
And he called it the trenches.
Or maybe it is called the trenches. Like, the club is called the trenches.
That's a terrible name for a strip club.
Is it?
It feels gross.
It's evocative of something. I don't think I want to explore what.
The hills and valleys.
Old
news of the hills and valleys.
Come one, come all. To check out Old News' cavernous trenches.
Yeah, I see your point. I wonder, like, is she a part of this? Does she have some kind of beef with Yonder Toad? Is he causing trouble for her?
Is Yonder Toad?
Who are these birds working for?
I think it's premature to assume that the stripper we made up has any connection to Project Birdfall.
I'm not assuming. I'm just wondering.
I am willing to entertain that she has her own secret police in town and runs it kind of military style.
But they are all
sort of
human.
Absent-minded king who doesn't have more than one good idea.
Yeah.
Sort of sits blithely in his throne.
I think that Old News was making plays toward being queen, and this guy just kind of wrecked that whole scene for her.
I won't deem it canon, but I do like the idea of Yonder Toad as the Spider-Man figure in town and Old News as, like, Kingpin, the arch-nemesis.
Are those
I think
those the same in the same comics?
They fight each other.
Do they? I mean, everybody fights everybody.
I think that's a fun own story to tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm more interested in that one. I want to read the one about Yonder Toad versus Old News' secret police. Right. I want to see that scene.
So that's its own fairy tale
that's
that
we've
created.
That's a
what if.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate universe.
And if any of you know of a king who can cure blindness, preferably with some kind of water concoction.
Preferably with moisture.
Or who like passes that on to a next generation situation,
mm-hmm.
let us know with a note in the email that's what you're referring to.
Also, maybe a bigger stretch. If you know a story about a time that a toad upsets some birds for some reason.
Also good to know.
Like if a toad just really works over some birds.
You know, any toad-centric stories, send those in.
Mm-hmm.
But we already read Vasilisa.
Yeah.
Right? That has a toad in it.
Yeah, but she's a bony girl.
Yeah, that's spoken for in the canon. I want fresh toad stories so we can talk about Yonder Toad.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh, uncocheted toads.
on crocheted toads.
Also, any fun folk tales you might know that would confirm old news in our canon would be great.
We would really like that.
I mean, this is like a standing assignment.
This is our wish list.
Standing assignment. Whenever you can find something that like validates a thing we made up, yeah. Let us know.
Give us a thing so that we can keep talking about the thing that we made up.
Again, okay, so at the beginning of this episode,
yeah.
I said something about like we... Like stories change, right? Yeah. Like mythology and folklore changes as it's told.
Boy, do they.
Version to version. Sometimes
we just kind of accelerate that process straight to Stripper Town.
Technology really speeds that process up, huh?
You make a great point.
Was this person like? Were we present 1,000 years ago somewhere when they were telling this story and there were those people like just really, really pushing to take it off the rails?
It's you and I in like cave clothing throwing rocks at whoever's telling the story saying like, talk about the toad more.
I'm going to be amused.
Naked ladies!
I'm going to be amused if like, you know, all three of us, we take the murder bus to the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out in the afterlife, two of you bastards in a past life are responsible for all the crazy twists and turns of the stories we read.
Like, what if our past...
Like you're just reaping what you sowed in a former life.
Oh, no. I deserve it if that's what's happening.
You are the Dol Noir you fear.
And in another 500 years... This is the version they will be telling.
Yeah, you guys have seen that meme of the boy trumpeting at a girl who's like clutching her ears as they walk down the street.
No,
you seen that image?
Yeah,
that's Gordy and I and Dol Noir, and really just all fairy tales in general. I think.
Yeah, yes.
Is that it this week?
I think that does it. So thank you, Nicole the Grim, for sending that in.
Thanks, Nicole.
Yep, thank you.
And thank you to our sponsor.
Thank you, Dom Deadpool.
Dompool.
Thank you, Dompool. Deadpool, Dompool. Deadpool, Dompool.
You broke Gordy.
The
You just straight broke him.
Thank you, Deadpool. Dompool.
Patrons. Oh, thank you, patrons.
Thank you, patrons.
Thank you, patrons.
Thank you to our top-tier patrons, Sarah, Robert, Haley, The Whisper Biscuit, no new name, this one's still very good, Timothy, Wade Wilson, Dompool, the sponsor this week, Justin, Jeremiah, Lily, Jenna, Jen, and Heather.
Top-tier patrons.
Thank you, patrons.
All of you. Over to you.
Well, this one's Doug, typically.
Thank you, Doug.
Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, The Neon.
Thank you, The Neon.
Thank you, Yonder Toad.
Thank you, Yonder Toad. You inspire me every day.
Thank you, Old News.
Thank you, old news.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Little Jerry.
Thanks, Little Jerry. Kicking things off every week.
Thanks, Little Jerry. We owe you a ton. We're What the Folklore. That's how it works. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, she'll live happily ever after.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have story suggestions for us, please send them to wtfolklore@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.